And we're turning to the book of Jude today in our Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude. We are reading from verse 17 today to verse 23. Jude 17 to 23. This is what it says. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Holy Spirit or not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. For a couple of months or weeks now, we've been studying through the book of Jude. It is a book filled with information, warnings, and is a concise book. We saw in the first sermon, Jude presented himself. Who he was half-brother of Jesus Christ. And we saw that he was writing this letter to the saved, to those who are kept, to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was writing this letter to believers, Christians. He said that he intended to write another book. The content of the book we have is not the one he wanted to write. He wanted to write something else. But he was compelled by God to write the book we do have today. And we don't know what he was going to write about. But he writes here that we must contend for the faith which was delivered to us. He commands believers to contend, to strive, to fight for the faith which was delivered to them. And then he says that he wants to tell them about the apostates, the danger of these false people who have infiltrated the church. The ungodly people, the wicked people who have come, who pretend to be Christians, who have come in into the church of God, they are operating there. The apostates. He told us about their character, their conduct, and why they are, who they are. He gave us three examples of people who have been in apostasy and how God dealt with them. He told us that their judgment is certain. God will punish all apostates. And this judgment is coming. Some have been judged in the past. And those who are apostates today, those who will be apostates in the future, will be judged. And now the question comes in our minds, what are we to do with all this information we have about the apostates? What are we going to react? How are we going to react with all this knowledge we do have? We know that there are people who pretend to be Christians in the church of God. How are we to react? What is your reaction? How are we to deal with these people? We thank God that he didn't leave us in confusion. He gave us an answer. He told us here in scriptures. That's what we are going to study today. The Christian's reaction to apostasy. The Christian's reaction to apostasy. How are Christians to react, to behave, to deal with the apostates. He tells us in verse 17-23 how we are to react facing this issue of apostasy in the church of God. He gives us as Christians three ways to react. He groups us in three categories, three groups, three parties, and he deals with us. He tells us how to deal with these people. He tells us, first of all, how we are to view the apostates, how we are to react to apostates. That's the first thing he does. He tells us that. The second thing he tells us, how we are to deal with ourselves, how we are to react with ourselves. You and I, we have a reaction, not only towards the apostates. He wants us to look at ourselves, how we are also to react on our own behalf. The third thing is, he says, how we are to react to others, how we are to view others, those who are affected by the apostasy among us. When apostates come in the church, they cause havoc and trouble. When they affect people, how we are to react towards those people who are affected. Three groups of people, or three ways how we are to regard these people. How to view the apostates, how to view ourselves, and how to view others who are affected by apostates. Number one, how we are to view the apostates. In verse 17 to 19, he tells us how we are to view the apostates. When we talk about apostates, in Swedish, is avfälling. You should know that. In Finnish, I wanted to find the word. You say lupio. We are talking about, when we talk about apostates, we're talking about someone who has come face to face with the truth and has walked away from it. They have rejected the truth. This can be manifested by what they teach, if they are teachers, or how they live their lives. Somebody who can be saying, I love Jesus, but their behavior doesn't reflect that character. That is an apostate. And how we are to view these people as the image in the church. That's the question we are going to answer today. How to view the apostates. The first answer is here, that we are not to be surprised by them. We are not to be surprised that there is an apostate. There is apostasy today in the church of God. As verse 17 to 18 says of Jude, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." The apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ told us. They predicted this. They told us it will happen. So that's why there is no reason why for us to be surprised by it. The apostles will certainly show up in the church of God. Christ loves his church. He builds his church. The devil hates the church of God, and he sends his people. They come into the church of God to destroy the church of God. If you stay in the church of God long enough, you will, in one way, one day, meet apostates. People who maybe teach false teaching, or who live a way which shows that they are not Christians, even though they claim to be Christians, you will face them. This should not surprise us. They are warnings in scriptures, there are predictions in scriptures by apostles. Let us turn to the book of Acts 20. We see one of these apostolic warnings Paul gives the church of Ephesus, the elders of Ephesus. Acts 20, 28 to 31. This is what he says. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That means the people from outside, they will come into the church of God. They will not just save the flock of God. They will just come to devour. And he continues in 3rd, he says, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He tells that there will be apostates coming from outside into the church, and inside the church, men will rise up. Not only men, that means also women can rise up from the church of God. What they do is here, and they do here, is not a good thing. They say that they will be speaking perverse things. The duty is to make disciples for themselves. He was crying for this day and night, warning the church of God. So you and I are not to be surprised when we see any apostate, anyone who claims for a time that they are Christians, who even now they still claim they are Christian, when you look in their life, they don't show the character of Christ. They show that they are fallen away. We are not to be surprised because we have been warned. As I say this, I am also a victim of this. Time after time, being in this church, when a brother or a sister who has been in church for a long time, and we get to know them, we love them, we are a small church, we love one another, we care for one another. Every time there's been somebody going away, after some time, it has happened, people go away, and you find that I am surprised. I am cut to pieces. I am devastated. I am feeling really bad that people have left away. I always forget this warning that people will go away. They will rise among us apostates. The feelings takes away, or the love we have for these people because we know them takes more part, and you get more surprised. You forget the warning, the prediction of of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are not to be surprised. This will happen. Apostates will come. And then he says that we are not to be surprised. The second thing, we are to remember that we are living in the last time. Every time you see anyone living, anyone causing anyone not showing fear of God and saying anything about the church of God, we have to remember that we are living in the last time. Because the Bible says that in the last time, there will be mockers, scoffers. This happens time after time. We are not to be surprised. We are to be faithful, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Apostle Paul has written in the book of 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Telling us about what will happen in last days. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungodly, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty people, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people, turn away. We are warned again in scriptures that in last days these people will come. These people will operate in the church of God. We are not to be surprised, but we are to know that we are living in last time, because this is what will happen time after time in last days. We see church denominations falling apart, the independent church falling apart, we see individuals falling apart. This should not surprise us. And we shall know that, we shall remember that we are living in the last days. These last days began when Christ came, and it continued. We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. We are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be surprised. We have to remember that these people are scoffers. These people are mockers. The third thing, why apostates are who they are. We have to remember why they are who they are. Why they conduct themselves in this way as they do. In verse 18, it says that the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ told us that they told you that they would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to the worn and godly lusts. They do what they do because they are mockers. They are scoffers. They don't take seriously the command of God. They don't have any reverence to the word of God. They might be saying it with their mouth. They might be pretending, telling you all the good language. But we know that they are doing what they do because they are ungodly people. If you've read this book of Jude, you will see that the famous word he uses is ungodly. Ungodly people. Carnal people, natural people, ungodly people. They do all these things according to their own lusts. They are ungodly people. They're following their ungodly character in everything. They don't have respect for God. They don't have respect for God's church. That's why they're doing what they are doing. And in verse 19, the Bible says that they cause divisions in the church of God. I tell you that most of the divisions in the church of God, they are caused by these ungodly people. They want to have their own agenda. They go on, and they divide the church of God. Why they do it? Because they don't have reverence for the word of God. They have no fear of God. They do what they are pleased. They are concerned in advancing their ways, the identity, their name. They are not caring for the unity of the church. They are wicked people. Divisions in the church of God. They divide the groups. They divide everything. They unsettle the water. Because they don't care about the unity of the church. The church of God wants people to be united, to be focused in thinking of the things of God. The apostates want to advance themselves. And the way of doing it is by dividing. Having small groups in the church of God. These are worldly people. They are carnal people, natural people. The Bible tells us in verse 19, not having the Spirit. They are not having the Spirit. Which means they are not born again. They feast on the immature. They come in the church of God. They see who is immature, who is a baby in faith, and they deal with them. They sit with them. They teach them, they feed them, they junk, and they win them to themselves. So how are we to view the apostates? We are to answer to our first question. How are we to view the apostates? We are not to be surprised. We are to remember the warnings by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are to remember the time we are living in. We are living in the last days. There will be mockers. There will be scoffers. The third thing, you are to remember who they are. They are carnal people. They are void of the Holy Spirit. An apostate is not somebody who is just confused. Somebody who's not. No, they are void of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. So don't be surprised. Remember that we are living in last time and last days. And remember that they are carnal people. They don't have the Spirit of God. And then we're answering the second question. How are we to think about ourselves? We are to think rightly about ourselves. How do you think about yourself? When apostasy is in the church, when people are behaving differently, when you see people leaving the church, saying bad things in the church, how are you to think about yourself? The Bible tells us we are to think rightly. Verse 20 to 21 of Jude. Verse 20 to 21, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." He tells you here that, listen, even though there are people who have fallen into apostasy, even though there are people who are causing havoc in the church and who are causing trouble in the church, what he says here that in midst of this hardship in the church, we are not to focus only on the apostates. We are not to focus only on the apostates. God wants us in this hard time, in every moment, in the midst of this trouble, he wants us to look on our walk with him. We are to look on our own walk with him. How is my walk with God at this time? There's a wise man who said, love for God cannot flourish when believers devote all their attention to the failings or shortcomings of others. If what we sit, what we are preoccupied with, which what we are wanting to do is pointing fingers or thinking of what others are doing, we are off the mark. We are not focusing our own walk with God. We are thinking of other stuff. And this is the biggest thing among we, the Reformed, we, the young groups, the Calvinists who are here. If you are on Facebook and stuff, people are only pointing fingers at others. People know of all the false teachers. Todd Bentley or Todd White or this new one which come, Francis Chan or whoever, Benny Hinn, they only Joseph Meyer, they point fingers of all the false teachers. But if you ask them, how is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? It will take time before they answer to you. They will say, yeah, I don't know. But they know about all others. They are preoccupied only thinking of the apostates, of the people, the false teachers of out there. They're forgetting this command that we are to build your own self up on your most holy faith. We can't allow ourselves to be distracted only by what the devil is doing. He gives us a command here to build ourselves in the love of God. And he tells us how to do it in three different ways. In verse 21, he tells us to keep our ourselves in the love of God. And how do we do this in the face of apostasy? How do you deal in the face of apostasy when looking at yourself? He says, you keep yourself in the love of God. You forget about those who have gone. Don't be surprised. But at the same time, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Again, guilty. When there's apostasy, when there's trouble in the church, the mind, the soul, everything is going to that problem. We forget always to look at ourselves. I forget always to look at my own walk with God. Day and night I think, I dream, and I can't sleep at night. Everything is going on what is happening in the church. But how would we keep ourselves in the love of God? Jude gives us an answer here. Three ways of doing it. You do that by building yourself in the holy faith. Building yourself in the holy faith. The second thing, you do that by praying in the Holy Spirit. The third, he says here, you do that by looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In these three ways, you keep yourself in the love of God. You are to understand the apostates. You are to understand the apostates. You are to know what they are all about and look at your own walk. You have to examine yourself, ask yourself if you are keeping yourself in the love of God or not. Because if I don't want to become an apostate, if I don't want to be a victim of apostasy, the only way to go is to keep myself in the love of God. You can either keep yourself in the love of God by maintaining your love for Him. You maintaining the love for Him, make sure that you maintain your love for God. You are not distracted. You don't go around and start loving other stuff. No, you keep your love for Him, knowing that God has loved you, and you love Him back. Or, in the face of this trouble, in the face of apostasy in the church, you keep yourself in a place where you experience God's love for you. That will be a place of obedience, as we said today in the book of Psalms. Keeping yourself in a place of obedience, a place of humility. You are submissive to God. You are humble before God. You submit yourself to the word of God, and you submit yourself to His command. You must, in midst of that trouble, that turmoil in the church of God, be reminded of His love for you. We know that the Lord keeps us. The Lord cares for us. But we have also responsibility. We have responsibility. We are not to be passive, but we are to be active. We are to keep ourselves, as it says here, keep yourself in the love of God. We are to participate in this keeping ourselves in the love of God. We have to be active people. Because sometimes we preoccupied with ourselves with unnecessary stuff. We forget the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? The first way to do it is by growing in the holy faith. As it says here. By growing in the holy faith. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. In verse 20, it says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. This is the faith he said at the beginning that we are to contend for. The word of God. The faith he said that we are to fight for. We are to keep ourselves in it by growing. By growing. You are to grow by building yourself, building your life on the faith of God. On the face of trouble, you build yourself on the truth. When there is this apostates in the church, when they are causing ever, you look at yourself. You study the word of God. You building your own. You build your conception, everything around the word of God. We grow in Christian life as we learn the word of God, as we believe the word of God, as we practice the word of God. When there is this kind of trouble, we keep ourselves, we go, we turn to the word of God. This we seem to forget time after time. When apostates come, when they start operating, doing the things in the church, causing havoc, the only thing you think, you think of how you are hurt, how you feel. You don't want to lose these people. You are only preoccupied on them. Maybe your hatred towards them. But you don't think about taking care of yourself, asking yourself a question, am I growing? And if I want to grow, I need to build my life on this faith, this word of God. I need to read more of the word of God. We will only grow in our holy faith if we study the word of God. If we understand it and if we practice it. And the question comes, how is your spiritual growth? Are you growing? Are you growing? Or are you going back? Your knowledge of God is getting less and less. Or are you there just maintaining? What pops up in your mind? Is it only the apostates who have left the church of God or are causing havoc outside there? Or are you taking time to focus your own mind, your own energy in your own growth? We keep ourselves in the love of God by growing. Secondly, we keep ourselves in the love of God if we are people who pray in the Holy Spirit. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Through prayer. Through prayer. This is not a dead prayer. This is not empty words. This is not gibberish. Blah, 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 blah. No. This is not a mindless prayer. This is a true prayer. He wants us to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray according to the will of God, a prayer that reflects the truth about the Holy Spirit of God, a prayer that reflects the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the prayer that reflects the earnestness of the Holy Spirit, the prayer that reflects His work, His help, His assistance in our lives. A prayer that reflects that we are dependent on Him. That's the prayer He wants us to pray in the Holy Spirit. According to the Holy Spirit. The prayer which reflects the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Not a mindless, nonsense, gibberish. Not a prayer which doesn't mean anything. Which contradicts the will of God. No. He wants us to keep ourselves in the love of God through prayer. We are to be people with a life of prayer. praying people in time of apostasy, when people are leaving, when people are causing havoc. We know who they are. We are not surprised. We remember the times we are living on. We know why they are doing what they are. Then we turn to ourselves. We think, am I growing? We open the Word of God. We study the Word of God. And we become people who pray what we have studied in the Word of God. We pray scriptures. We pray the prayer which reflects that we are belonging to God. We are submissive to Him. That's what he's talking about here. Again, how is your prayer your life? Do you pray? First thing, how to keep ourselves in the love of God is we are to be waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, as it says here. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that leads to eternal life. This means I am waiting for Jesus Christ's return. The apostles do what they do. I know. I tend to myself reading scriptures. I study the Word of God. I pray what I've studied. And I'm waiting day after day. I'm anticipating the coming of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am longing for that day when He will come and fetch me. I'm longing for that day when I will see Him face to face. We are to consider His coming back. We are to anticipate it day after day, knowing that when He returns, mercy will be needed. And mercy will be given. He will give us mercy. When He returns, I will not stand before God condemned. Because of His mercy, I will stand before God, and God will see His mercy. When He comes, I will need mercy. This means I am humbled. I will live in humility. So you keep yourself in the love of God through His Word, through prayer, and by waiting for His return, knowing that the eternal life is coming. You know, time after time we are preoccupied as Christians with things of this world. You know, Christians are preoccupied with things of this world. Power in the church. They're preoccupied with getting rich. They're preoccupied of having things of this world, forgetting that our journey is towards eternity. We don't have eternity in our minds in many things we do as Christians. Unbelievers think of today. Apostles think of today. But you should be thinking of eternity by anticipating on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means your mind is fixed on eternity. You are looking for what will happen in the future. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads unto eternal life. Do you think about eternity? How often do you think about eternity? That's a question. Are you growing? Are you having a prayer life through the Holy Spirit? Are you looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? The third way he tells us, the third group of people he wants us to look at, after we have looked at apostasy, or the apostates, what they do, understand them, not being surprised, looking at ourselves, knowing our duty, what we are to do, now he's turning that we are to think right about those about others, about those around us. You know, when there's apostates in the church, if you come in contact with apostates, people around you are affected. People among you are affected. It's not only you, it's not only the apostates, everyone is affected. Because that's what they want to do. They want to leave a mark. He tells us how we are to think about others affected in the church of God. That's what Jude is telling here. People will be affected. People will be hurt. He tells us in verse 22 to 23. Jude, verse 22 to 23, says here, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by their flesh." Jude gives us again three specific ways to react depending on who we are dealing with here. After we've looked at ourselves, at apostates, and then people around us. He says here that, "Have mercy with some, be patient with some." And secondly, be merciful, be forceful. Use some force towards others. Snatch them out of fire. Snatch them out of fire. And then the third, be cautious, in cautiousness, rescuing some. Cautious attempt at rescue. How can we then differentiate between these two, these three? Who is who here? How can we know that with this one, I have to be patient. I have to be merciful. On this one, I have to use my force to snatch them out of fire. And then these other ones, I have to be cautious talking to them. He tells us about the first one, the one we have mentioned. Then we say that we are to have mercy on those who doubt. When chaos happens, when evil comes, there are those who are just doubting, who are just shaken by what they've seen. They are just confused, but just need some comfort, some exhortation. We teach them, we interact with them, we are gentle to them. We don't rebuke them, because they are ready to be rescued. They just need us to discuss with them, explain to them, and then you save them, we show mercy to them. This comes clearly in my mind. When some people left this church many years ago, they came to me and they told me all the lies and all the things, and it came to my I was so surprised, I didn't know anything. Me and my wife, we didn't see any of those things they were saying. I was touched, and I was, because people were there, but they were saying these things, and then they left the church. We were touched, I was touched, and I was doubting, I started doubting things, and I started thinking, what is this? And then Pastor Tom Rukala came from Tampere, came to our house, opened the Word of God. He opened the Word of God, started reading verse after verse, reference after reference. I was easy to be on. I was ready. I was affected. I was just doubting. I was shaken by the accusations or by the people I loved, people I knew. They were leaving the church. I was easy to be rescued. My doubt went off. Everything went off. I was fine. This is what he's talking here. On some, be merciful. We are to spend time talking to them. The weak ones. who are just doubting, who have just heard and they are shocked by what has happened in the church of God. We are to be merciful to them. Not rebuke them. Why are you doubting? Why are you doing this? No. Spend time with them. Explain. Read scriptures. Okay, these are they made accusation. Okay, that's good. Let us read scripture. What does it say? Let us go in reality. We are to win them. And then there is a second group here. It says, to those who have been more affected. They are not only doubting, they are in danger of being convinced. They are almost ready to follow the apostates. They are heading for fire. And the Bible says that you stand firm and you snatch them out of fire. You snatch them. Is a brother and sister in Christ who maybe they've listened much. Maybe they've made up their own mind. They are almost ready to be convinced by what the apostates are saying. They are almost ready to go on other side. The Bible tells here that we are to snatch them. We are to think of it like a fireman who comes into a burning house. He snatches people out. We are to do all that we can. This is what it says here. We are to pour our life. We are to do all that we can, showing mercy, trying to snatch them out of the danger. We are to spend time with these people. We are to read scripture. We are to pray for. We are to do everything so that they don't go on our side. They become your project. A forceful act. You are to rescue them. You talk to them straight. You tell them what needs to be said. And you make sure that they come out of that danger. You work on the doubts. You work on the confusion. You work out the shock. And you rescue them out of the danger. A forceful action. And then it goes on to the third ones of the others. The third ones. How do you deal with them? The one who is already defiled. The one who has made up their mind. They've listened. They've seen things. They've always made up their mind that we are going. They've accepted their error. They are defiled. The Bible says that we still have mercy on them. You still long to rescue them. But Jude says that you better be careful there. Showing mercy with fear. Showing mercy with fear. With all your respect for what you are dealing with. Knowing that these people have made up their mind. These people are convinced. These people are going. These people are not part of what we are doing. But you still want to win them. You don't put yourself in the... You don't spend much... You don't put themselves in things so that you also get contaminated. Because by spending time, by listening much to them, they will convince you. They can make you defiled as they are. They can make their nonsense to be sense to you. The Bible says here that we are to hate even the garment stained by the flesh. That garment, it says, is like a garment which was worn close to the body. It's like underwear. We are even to hate that. We are to hate that. We are not to come as close to them. Again, I've done the same mistakes. People out of love. You see, people have gone. They've gone far. People have gone far. You're trying. And you've given them time. Maybe spend time with them much. You see that in the end, they start using you as their justification. Don't say it. Don't did. Why did he call me? Don't call me. Why did he call me if I was wrong? Don't say this. Don't say, why did he do this? So they start using you as a way of advocating what they are doing. Or they're spending much time with you to confuse others. You see, I am still friends with Don. I am still friends with you. I'm not bad. Those who are defiled, those who have made up their minds, those who have gone on other side, we are to be careful. You try to rescue them, but you are so cautious. You are so careful that you are not defiled as they are. You are not contaminated as you are. It's like a doctor who goes in a room where full of people have infections or highly contaminating disease. They go there, but they are so careful. They have masks and they have stuff. They make sure that they don't come in contact with these people so that they don't get contaminated. We are to be led in that case with fear of contamination, fear of defilement. Again, another wise man said that believers are to beware lest the mercy is transposed into acceptance and they themselves become defiled by the sin of those they try to help. Again, we have to be careful so that we are not defiled when we try to rescue. Not spending much time with the perverts. Not spending much time with them because they make the case to go forward. But to show mercy to someone who is already defiled can be so tricky and hard. How do we do it? The best way of doing, of helping those kind of people, of rescuing those kind of people, is by praying for them. I think that's the safest way you can do it. We pray for them. We have to be careful not to be defiled. But in the same way, we are to pray for them so that your effort of trying to helping them can't be turned that you are accepting their nonsense or perversion or their sins. And now, in conclusion, what should your reaction be after you have read, you have listened to what is being taught in the book of Jude? What should your reaction be? First one, you are to think rightly about the apostates. You are not to be surprised by them. You realize it is a sign that we're living in the end of times. You know who they are and what they are all about. Secondly, you think about yourself. You think about yourself. You don't only think about them. You concentrate on your own walk with God. You keep yourself in the love of God by growing in your relationship with His Word, by having a fervent prayer life, growing in your relationship as you look with anticipation to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, expecting Him to show you mercy and eternal life when He comes. We have to remember that there are others who are mightily affected by it. You show mercy. You are merciful when dealing with them. You are gentle to rescue them. To those who are in danger of contamination, we ask God to give you wisdom to snatch them. Because we need wisdom. Imagine if you have a brother and sister
who is already like almost believing the lies. You need wisdom from the Lord for what to say, for you to win them back. Today, to those who have already accepted the error, who have become defiled, what we do, we pray for them. We pray for them. It is so interesting that even today, sometimes I get random messages from people who has made it clear that they don't belong to the Church of God, but they call themselves Christians. They want people to see they are preoccupied with their ideas. They're still sending me messages wanting to meet me, wanting to be friends with me, to do things. In that case, words of Jude should be so clear. We are to be really careful, cautious, so that they don't use you, they don't use your name to make their own case. I met with Frederick, I met with I met with this one, and he said this, he said this. This is a power-packed book. We have to remember what Jude is talking about here. Let us not be like people who are confused, or people who only they do is they think about the apostates, about the defiled people. We have to watch our own walks. We must fulfill ourselves with the word of God. We have to be people who pray. We pray for those who are defiled. We do pray for ourselves. We do await with anticipation the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that will be our occupation. We'll be people who are focused. I tell you, apostasy will come. You will fight it, but you must be prepared. We are warned in scriptures, which means we are armed. When it happens, don't be like Don, who gets surprised. Know that, yeah, it was going to come. And do your duty. Do your duty according to the word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you, Lord God, for these words we've heard, how Jude is preparing us, is warning us as the Church of God. As we know, to be warned is to be armed. Lord, he has told us that in last days, mockers will come, scoffers will come. Father, causing havoc. Lord, getting people for themselves, teaching perverse things. Father, dividing the Church of God. Father, as a church, we are to be prepared. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for time after time in the past. Lord, our eyes are turned to those who are in error. Lord, we preoccupy ourselves. We think more of them than on you. Father, we don't look at our own walk. We think of things of this world. Lord, time after time we forget, Lord, about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sometimes we live as unbelievers, thinking only of today. We pray, Father, that you forgive us. Lord, we do pray that you will help us to remember with anticipation the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will judge the living and the dead. Lord, when we'll judge each one according to what they've done. Those who have rejected Christ, they will be, Lord, punished with Satan and his angels. Father, those who have trusted in you, they will have eternal life with God. Would you pray, Father, that you will help us, help this warning to stay in our minds, in our hearts. Lord, we'll be able to practice it. Father, we pray that you help the Church of God. You help us Lord, that we be united. Be people who remember the word of God and love you for who you are. Love your word and love God's people. People who pray, Father, people who support others. All this we do pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.